Good morning. It is 10:30 a.m. on October 2nd, 2023. We'll call to order the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors acting as Drainage District Trustees for Drainage District Grant 5. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda this morning?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Heddens.
Aye.
Merkin.
Aye.
Basil. Aye. Moving to consider the validity of a petition by landowners and district Drainage District Grant 5 to elect their own trustees and assume management of the district. So we received the petition. Looks like on several counts, we have 66 signatures on the petition. And based on a thorough review from the auditor's office, it looks like there are 238 total unique property owners. And what is required is a majority of the persons, including corporations, owning land within the district. So it looks like we're at 28% of needed signatures. So looks like we need 54 more signatures to move forward. And we do have a copy of the petition available if you'd like to look it over. I believe John Clow has it right now, but oh, it's moved on. Okay, perfect. Perfect. Just wanted to make sure it was making its way around the room. The petitioner is Ron Jensen. Do we have Mr. Jensen on the phone? I don't know the phone number though. Okay. So it appears that the petition is not complete yet, so we won't be able to validate it, but we can return it to the petitioner along with the existing signatures to continue gathering signatures. And then the auditor's office did assemble a list of all of the individuals, corporations, and trusts, which is where the 238 individuals came from. We can provide this list also back with the petition, so the petitioner doesn't have to start from scratch or go digging, but I don't know where Mr. Jensen is. Was there someone here representing Mr. Jensen? Okay, well, we can hold it.
Do we notify Mr. Jensen?
I assume we communicate with him. We can maybe do a short letter confirming that it does not, it's not valid because it doesn't meet the number. And also I had some questions when I looked at the petition. And you want me to go ahead?
Please, yeah.
Okay. I noticed someplace where somebody else signed for the owners. And I wonder, you know, we don't know when we look at a petition, unless we have a power of attorney or some kind of legal document, we don't know that somebody's authorized to sign for owners. So that might be something that we just might want to suggest to Mr. Jensen. And the other thing is, if there's a trust, you know, we need to know the individuals involved legally in that trust, so we know that the people who are signing, again, that they have, you know, that they are part of that trust, they have the legal ability to sign.
Right.
And I think it's just, we thought about those things as we were looking at the petition, so I thought it was good that we just mentioned those, you know, rather than come back later and say, oh, but this, you know, right. It's not an aha. We're just wanting to say, here are the things that we've thought about in terms of being able to consider a petition valid.
Right.
That makes sense.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think part of the list that you have there also being addressed, or with the names listed out, is to reflect that if there are two or more people that own the land, that does one person have the ability to sign for all three, or do all three need to sign?
I think they all need to sign unless there's a power of attorney.
They don't need to sign. They are all
eligible to sign.
They don't Thank need you, to Lucy. Sign. They are all eligible to sign. But if one person from a corporation signs, they are signing as one person, not as all eligible signers of the corporation. Is that an accurate?
Okay.
Lucy Martin, Surrey County Auditor, and I'm not the legal expert here. I did confer with my colleagues across the state of Iowa. The way that list is broken out, it's by corporations. Corporations get one signature. It's by trusts. Trusts get one signature. And then all the individual owners, everybody on that list, that is, it would count for a signature that's allowed, as I understand it.
Okay.
Corporations get one signature, trusts get one signature. Okay, I didn't understand that.
That's just my, I mean, we don't have the, as our attorney here, but this is.
So that's not how the, but that's not how the Clay County court case reads. So the Clay County court case reads that the Iowa code does not, where is it? Sorry, bear with me.
I think there's a difference between a tract with a multiple number of owners in a trust, perhaps, or a corporation.
You need to come up to, I'm sorry.
Sorry. So,
microphone.
Ms. Martin. And then what that case really says is that fractional, no matter how small the fraction, every right. owner is eligible and right. counts in that list of 236.
Can you, sorry. Crystal, I'm sorry. Can you introduce yourself?
Sorry, my apologies. Crystal Ring, Story County Attorney's Office.
So that's what the auditor's office went through and counted. Basically, we need to know this if we have a valid petition and we hold an election, the signatories allowed for a petition are the same as the people that are eligible to vote in such an election. And I would create a election register, a tally book based on those. And so they're the same universe. So it's was important for us to have that together. And I did work with Crystal on this.
Okay. So you're saying there still needs to be more signatures.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just saying, I'm not debating that. I'm saying who can sign, basically, is that was the list that we created.
And the 150 individuals you have listed, there may be, are those, let's say there's a...
Doesn't matter if you own a 40 with 18 of your closest cousins, or you own 500 acres by yourself, those all, everybody that's listed as an owner is a signatory.
And those are the 150 individuals, but there may be more than 150 there.
No, we counted everybody.
We counted every person who was listed.
Like a day and a half to put this together. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what we did was to create everybody that, and this is a point in time data of who owns the land now,
mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, is subject to change. But it's not like an election where I can just run a list of who's
sure.
registered. It's, we had to go into every parcel and then look at how trusts okay. are laid out, or life estates, things like that. It was, property records are not designed to run a clean list. That's not their function. So we had to delving into
where we were going earlier. We were obviously mistaken. Thank you for clarifying that. So a trust, it's only one person, one vote. Corporation, one person can sign for a corporation. It's one vote, correct?
So that's my interpretation.
And does it, I'm just concerned about how much investigation and looking into what the auditor's office has to do to determine that this person legitimately can sign for this corporation or this trust.
So petitions are accepted at face value.
Okay.
And if this goes to an election, then that will be up to the election judges that are chosen from the drainage district residents to decide if somebody, and there's a whole process in the code about proxies and things like that. Also for underage landowners. I didn't delve into that yet, but if and when we hold an election, that would be part of any training I give to those election judges to how to interpret that. But it's ultimately up to the drainage district owners to make those determinations, not my office.
Okay, so the judges.
Or the trustees.
So the basic thing with the petition we have before us right now is that
your short signatures.
Short signatures, yeah. 54 signatures. So we can't move forward. Mm-hmm. You take it at face value with the petition, mm-hmm. whatever can come later
right.
on that. And so it's kind of back to the same area where we started, mm-hmm. is that mm-hmm. we can provide that list that you've identified mm-hmm. back to Mr. Jensen, and if he wants to pursue.
Yeah. Right. So we can return the original petition. He can continue to collect signatures on it. If and when he submits it again, then we would have the same conversation and we would clean up our list, because I say that's point in time data. So, you know, land does change hands occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not a very clear cut process, I have to say. And it's not anything that Story mm-hmm. County has done before.
Right.
So. And it's brand new to us. So we appreciate the work you did with the other auditors on this to get
started. Yeah, luckily Clay County had a district court case, because otherwise I think we would be I'm glad it was them and not us, let's put it that way.
Yeah,
they were very helpful.
So we don't need to ask anybody prove that you can sign for a trust or corporation. That'll be the judges if they want to challenge anybody on the
petition. Well, I mean, that would be if examining the validity of a second submission of a petition was something you could do. Any petition, this is just really general petition advice, is always get overage. So if you need, you know, 124 signatures, get
200
so that if anything gets, don't let anything rest on one signature.
Okay, but let me state this and then see if you agree with me or not. What I'm understanding is that the drainage district trustees do not have an obligation or responsibility to determine that somebody legitimately can sign for a corporation or a trust. We take that as face value. And if the judges want to look at that later, the judges can look at that later, correct?
No, I would say we would accept the petition at face value. If you have a meeting like this, that's when you might want to go through and see.
Right.
Because you didn't have enough signatures, I don't think you need to dig into it at this point in time.
But it's our responsibility to canvass the petition,
yeah.
and verify that it is.
That's part of your validity determination, I would say.
And how do we determine that?
I would defer to your civil attorney over here, not myself. But
I mean, if we're going to ask for something that says that somebody has the authority to sign for a trust or for a corporation,
we should state the truth. That's how petitions usually work. If you want to argue that point, that's, I don't know.
I'm just asking what our responsibilities are.
Yeah.
Well, the code says canvas. As far as the case law on it, there's not much case law to aid in our opinion. I mean, the best we can do is looking at canvas. I would say based on her list, we would need definitely the majority for dealing with trust, or we could delve in and ask for a copy of the trust to make sure the trustees would have the obligation, the authority, excuse me, to sign on behalf of the trust. So we could ask for the trust itself to confirm that. As far as with regards to a corporation, we could request potentially the articles of incorporation to see if we wanted to take a look at that. I mean, so we do have, I think, an ability to canvas. It is open to interpretation because there isn't much case law guidance. We have the code and the common reading of the code. And so I do think that there is a little bit of an obligation that we make sure that there's enough signatures and that, and I can look into it more. I did not look into all those issues. Maybe I can dig a little bit deeper and see if I can't find some more case law on this topic.
Yeah. My sense is just, if we're going to do that, we're going to have the responsibility to canvas it. I don't want to come back later, you know, 60 days later or whenever and say, oh, now we want this.
Right.
If we know we want it, we should ask for it now.
Right.
Agreed. And I would say you're not the only ones that could object to, you know, anyone I think could say, anything that's filed in my office becomes public record and anyone can examine it. We can say, oh, I don't think so-and-so is authorized. That, I mean, it doesn't have to be you. It could be somebody
else. We could communicate back when we send the petition back that it would be helpful if somebody is signing for a trust or a corporation that you include some documentation showing this person has the authority to sign for that entity.
A lot of the trusts are, you know, it's a couple, and then obviously if one of them signs for that, that's pretty clear. It's
well,
corporations are probably a harder one to determine, but there's only I think 20.
I just don't want it to look like 60 days from now we're doing a gotcha. You know, we're going to ask for more. If we have a responsibility here and we're exploring it, we've never done this before. If we have a responsibility here, we need to do it. And we can't do it. It just, there's a signature there. That's enough. So I'd say we should
be upfront and transparent.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So do we need to vote to return the petition? We don't need a motion on that. We just return.
Yeah, you've rejected the petition. We can return it.
Do we need a motion to reject the petition?
I would accept a motion to reject.
Okay. I still move that we reject the petition based on inadequate number of signatures.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Merkin.
Aye.
Aye.
Faisal. Aye.
Do you then want a motion to send out a new letter? I mean, the petition with the listing as well as the additional information we are requesting should they wish to pursue?
I don't think we need.
Okay.
I think we just return it to the person who submitted the petition.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't think we do another letter to everybody.
No, I meant to the petitioner.
Yeah. I don't think,
Okay. I think we do, and that we ask for copies of documents, as we talked about, for a trust or a corporation showing that somebody has the legal right to sign for them. And just as Supervisor Hedden said, just to be transparent, just to think ahead and not put roadblocks up.
So with that, I believe I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Heddens.
Aye.
Merkin.
Aye.
Faisal. Aye. We're adjourned. Thank you.